And now your host, Chris Ranji.
It is not Chris Ranji. Ted Farmer alongside Darren Jackson. Glenn, as Chris Ranji is on other duties right now.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Chris, looking to attend a live hockey game.
Hi, I'm Chris, looking to attend a hockey game.
Well, hold on 1 minute, Chris. Let me have a large, bright, heavy ice. Come on.
Yeah, man.
You know what? You know
what? Man.
That's it. You broke Ranji now. Way to go.
Yeah, he's been broke all day.
He's a hard reboot.
Oh, I need to be better at my job.
I would, you know what? It's far too late for that.
And now your host, Chris Ranji.
It's really horrible. Good evening, friends. How are you? Good to be with you. I'm glad that we have an opportunity to hang out until the Bears start playing. Actually, we're going to be hanging out way past that. It's not just 7:20 that we go. We're going to go until 9 o'clock tonight, dude, which means I will be on during the Bears game. So if you have found that you don't really care all that much about second and third stringers, yeah, you can still listen to the station. You can put the game on TV or whatever and listen to me. I'll be with you till 9 o'clock tonight. The phone lines, they are open. 312-644-6767. We are, of course, on Twitter at 670thescore. So am I. You can follow me there at Chris Ranji on the show tonight. We are going to be very Kodiak Bears heavy in the first hour plus of the show. Patrick Finley is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to Mark Grody right before the Bears get going. He's going to join us at 7 o'clock. Tony Andracki on the Cubs. And you know what? The last, I don't know, feels like five times I've been on with you, you know, filling in because I do sometimes, like tonight on Score Evenings. I haven't talked Sox. We haven't discussed the White Sox like once. That's how crazy this entire season has been. How bad they are. They're so bad that nobody wants to hear from them or about them, which is messed up. But tonight, you know what? We'll talk a little bit of White Sox later on in the show. My guy, Ryan McGuffey, is going to be visiting with us. I love Guff, from NBC Sports Chicago, host of the White Sox Talk podcast. He'll be with me, as I mentioned, Tony Andracki for Marquee Sports Network. He's a Cubs reporter there. So he will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour after the Bears game gets going. But I have made an executive decision, and there's nothing you can do about it, that even though the game will be underway after 7:20, I'm still going to keep it open for Bears talk. I mean, why not? Because tonight in the game, as you know, and maybe you don't know, and maybe you're learning just now that none of the starters are going to be playing. That means no Caleb Williams. That means no Patrick Mahomes for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, look, it's just going to be one of those nights where a lot of times in the preseason, those final preseason games, you don't see much starter, if at all. So it's kind of what's happening tonight. So it's just going to be about the second, third stringers and so on. That's what this final preseason game is going to be. And here is what is difficult to handle. You may not be thinking about this, but if you haven't looked at the calendar, it is a long time, relatively speaking, before there's an actual real football game that counts. Do you realize it's 17 days away? It's not like in a week. You know, you're probably thinking, okay, preseason, we get it out of the way tonight on a Thursday. That gives them like 8-9 days to get. Nope. Nope. We're not going to see the Bears, Caleb Williams, any of the starters play a football game that counts for 17 days. That is a long time if you really think about it. So we're not going to see Caleb play for a very long time. That stinks, but I totally understand why they're doing it. They're doing it because, well, they don't want to have an unnecessary injury. There is nothing unusual about this. The Chiefs are doing the same thing. And you might be arguing, well, okay, so because it's the Chiefs, they've won like a million Super Bowls and they just won one. And Mahomes is a veteran, so he knows what he's doing. He doesn't need the practice. But Caleb is a new guy. He does. I see. I would have liked to have seen him get a series. maybe see the starters. But I have no problem with this. This is okay. I just selfishly, I wanted to see him and the starters play tonight, but they're not going to, and it's fine. I don't think it's going to make the difference between him having a first good game on September 8th against Tennessee or him not. But the reps for me would have been just about getting another look at him, getting one more look, because we really only got a couple, and we are starved to watch this kid get his career underway. It is difficult to wait for. Such a difficult thing when we are as excited as we are to watch him get going. And for those of us who are hoping it is the beginning of a Hall of Fame career, you watch the couple of preseasons. He does enough in those preseason games that make you think, all right, let's go. Finally, it's happening for us. It's happening. We got a real dude now. He just played a couple of games in the preseason. Okay, that must mean he's going to get started in a week. No, we got to wait 2.5 weeks. So that stinks. Whatever. I can't wait to get it going. So selfishly, would have liked to seen him play, but I totally get why they have not done that. Cubs won a ball game today. In fact, it was pretty much all Cubs. 10-2 final over Detroit. And in that game, Justin Steele was really, really good. 7 innings, couple of runs. He punched out 10. So great job done by him. And how about our guy, Amaya? He hit a grand slam in this game that pretty much put it out of the way. Miguel Amaya with that grand slam, a 10-2 final, and the Cubs beat the Tigers. They find themselves a couple of games under 500 in third place in the Central. And if I'm any other team in the Central Division, whether it's the Cubs, whether it's the Cardinals, I'm not even paying attention to the Brewers right now, because they are so far ahead. Even though they did lose today, they're in a pretty commanding lead at this point of the season. I'm not even looking at the National League Central right now. What I am looking at is the wild card race. And yeah, the Cubs are still there. There's still an opportunity for them. It's going to be difficult, but they are still within striking distance. 5 games out of a playoff spot. Unfortunately, there are 3 games between them and the third wild card, or 3 teams between them and the third wild card. Cardinals, Giants, Mets, and then the Braves hold the third wild card. So like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the Cubs in the next hour, and we'll get to some Sox later on. I had this really awful thought. I don't know if it's awful. I feel like I shouldn't be so selfish. Anybody who knows me, you listening, if you've ever heard me before, you might be thinking, well, totally, dude, you're already selfish. We know that. Okay. If I don't think that's true, I think I'm a pretty good guy. But I had this selfish thought the other day, and it is carrying over, and it continues, and I'm trying to oppress this thought, but I cannot get rid of it. And here it is. We are extremely excited about Caleb Williams. He has been the most dominant topic of discussion on this station and in Chicago sports, and rightfully so, for the last several, really, months, I guess. And he's shown us that he could end up being a fantastic player. We know that. We know there's a lot of promise. We know there are things for him to clean up, right? He's not going to step into the league, I doubt, and just dominate from the start. It might happen. I don't think it's going to. I'm certain there's going to be a learning adjustment period for him. So I'm cautiously optimistic about him, even though I shouldn't even say I'm cautious. I am tempered optimistic about him because I think he's going to end up being really good, but I also feel like I'm going to have to wait for it a little bit because there's going to be growth that has to happen. So we think that's what it will be. We think he's on the way to being a perennial, and I don't want to say MVP. I mean, we hope, but you know, at least a Pro Bowler or something, right? We want him to be that regularly. But here's my problem, and it really doesn't have anything to do with Caleb Williams. And I think this is selfish. I really don't want any of these other good or these other rookie quarterbacks that are coming into the league to be good. Okay. I take that back. It's not that I don't want them to be good. I just don't want them to be close to special. See, we think Caleb Williams is and is going to be a special quarterback. But I have this feeling, it is deep in the back of my brain, and every now and then the thoughts creep into the front. And when I see Bo Nix have a good preseason game, I see Drake May getting closer and closer to maybe becoming the Patriots starter at the beginning of the year. I see Jaden Daniels doing well during preseason. I think, you know what? We waited how many years for the shot at having a real, actual, special quarterback? Here it is. And the thing about having a special, awesome quarterback is that you're the only team that gets one. If everybody gets one, it's not as special. So I'm looking at these other guys who are showing some real promise. And we know J.J. McCarthy's not, you know, he's not going to play this year. He had the knee injury, so he's out. But you see some of these other guys, and it almost feels like, oh, dang. Oh, of course. We finally get one. We finally get this guy who's supposed to get all the attention. Oh, but Jaden Daniels looks great, too. Oh, Bo Nix looks pretty good. Oh, great. Awesome. Oh, Drake May is going to be starting for the Patriots, and he might be really good, too. Oh, cool. So everybody gets one now? It's almost like, you know, you have this lady that you want to hang out with, or dude, whatever, and they never invite you out, and you think, you know what, I kind of like to hang out, you know, with this person, just one-on-one, but they never invite you out. They never ask to hang out with you. And then the one time they do, they invite six other people too. It's almost like, hey man, can't I have this to myself for once? We already know there are these other really good quarterbacks in the league who are established, you know, Josh Allen, Mahomes, so on and so forth, Dak. We know those guys, okay, fine, they're veterans. But can't we have the really good rookie quarterback? Why do there have to be five of them? It seems unfair. We waited forever to have a real great quarterback. Feels like we've got one. And now now everybody gets one? This is stupid. I think it sucks. Is that a stupid thought? Have a lot of those. Is this one of them? Let me know. 312-644-6767. I want all the attention to be on Caleb Williams and the Bears. And I want it to be the NFL is like, oh, wow, look at what's happening in Chicago. This is the most special rookie quarterback that has ever existed. This guy's unbelievable. And it's only happening in Chicago. Instead, what it feels like it might be is, hey, Caleb Williams is really good, but so is Jaden Daniels. He might be even better. So is Bo Nix. So is Drake May. This is an incredible rookie quarterback class. It feels like that's what's going to happen. I don't know. I think this idea that I have in my mind, I know it's selfish. That's first and foremost. I'm fully aware of that. I don't care. I know it is. I also think it's a little nuts, but I can't get rid of it. And I'd like to know what you think. 312-644-6767. Feel free to text me on this one. We'll get to your text messages. We'll get to your phone calls a little bit later on. But what I want to do is get to a break, so we have plenty of time to talk to our guy who covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times, Patrick Finley. He will join us when we come back as we get ready for the Bears and the Chiefs in the final preseason game tonight. They kick off at 7:20. So let's talk to Finley when we come back. Chris Ranji filling in on Score Evenings.
He's not playing. So it's most of the starters. So we'll look at some guys that have lower numbers and some of those guys, and we'll have that discussion finalized later tomorrow morning when we do our participation meeting. He will not play in the game.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Matt, are you Bieber? Jeez, can't even talk. So excited about Bears football, I can't stand it. Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Bears. Caleb, not playing tonight. The starters are not going to play tonight, as they will take on the Chiefs. The kickoff is scheduled for 7:20. And as we get you ready for Bears football tonight, it is time to go to the Score guest hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We bring in Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times, who covers the Bears. You can follow him on Twitter at Patrick Finley. What's going on, Patrick?
Oh, just hanging out in the press box, which is the highest point in the state of Missouri, I promise you.
Well, is it taller than the arch?
That's a good question. You do not have to ride up to it in an egg-shaped elevator, though. I will tell you that.
Oh, well, I will tell you from experience. I mean, I wasn't on it, but that egg-shaped elevator got stuck about a week ago, and people were there for several hours. So it's a real emergency. Anyway, so football tonight, this is it. When the starters are not playing, obviously Tyson Bagent, that's kind of the guy that you're looking to as the Bears' backup. But what specifically will you be looking at in tonight's game or looking for?
Well, I think Tyson Bagent's a good place to start. You know, he's someone who I think very highly of. I think that he is a very competent backup, certainly belying the amount of experience he's had in both college and in the NFL. So I'll be watching him. You know, he's going to be playing with second and third string players, so you probably want to get him out of there pretty quick, maybe a drive or two before you hand it over to Brett Rypien and then Austin Reed. But to me, Brett Rypien conversation is a really interesting one. You know, if the Bears want to make sure that he stays on the team, they've got to put him on the 53-man roster. You know, they can take a chance and try and get him through to the practice squad. But if that doesn't work, then you lose kind of the only voice of experience you have in that room. As we sit here right now, you know, they have four quarterbacks in their quarterback room who have a combined four NFL starts, and they all belong to Tyson Bagent. So we'll see whether they let Rypien put good tape out there for the rest of the world to see, or whether they have him hand off and get him to halftime and then play the fourth and fifth string in the second half.
Yeah, there was I can't remember where I saw it now, but a piece yesterday suggesting that, you know, maybe the Bears trade Bagent to a team like the Raiders, who might be able to use somebody like that. Is that a possibility?
Why would you do that? I mean, and I'm not asking you personally, but no. If we've learned anything in the NFL over the last couple of years, it's that having a competent backup is something that you absolutely have to have. I think the average NFL team last year started more than two quarterbacks, like two and a half quarterbacks per team, something crazy like that. You're going to need him. And I think having a backup quarterback that you believe in is a lot more valuable than having whatever sort of fourth-round pick the Raiders would throw at you for him. You know, if the Bears are ready to win now, and they say they are, I don't think they're in position to be selling off parts that can help them, and I certainly consider Tyson Bagent a part that can help them.
Yeah, he does look at minimum to be competent, and I love his attitude. It's somebody who just yesterday was talking about the idea that, you know, he doesn't see himself. I don't think he said specifically, I don't see myself as a backup. He has big ideas for himself as a player, which you want to hear, but he's got a lot of confidence.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he was saying kind of, if you knew what my goals were, you'd think they were ridiculous. And he might be right, but, you know, that's healthy. That's how you're supposed to think. You know, and honestly, I don't think any NFL athlete wakes up every morning and says, hey, I'm going to be the best third stringer I can be today. I mean, everybody's got a little bit of that in them, but Tyson does a really good job at kind of sharing those things with the world. I mean, part of the reason the world, or at least Bears the world, is interested in Tyson Bagent now is he's really good on TV, and he's been on Hard Knocks a couple weeks in a row here. And you can see just kind of that dynamic personality, and I think he's got some people rooting for him beyond what he was able to do last year, which was go 2-2 on a really bad football team in four starts.
Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times joins us on 670 The Score. The Bears game is tonight. They're taking on the Chiefs in Kansas City. So we're wondering about the 53-man roster. They got to get that settled on Tuesday. And there are some questions with the offensive line. First of all, how is Ryan Bates, and what do we know about him and how he's feeling?
Ryan Bates is week to week with some Matt Eberflus talk for probably not coming back anytime too terribly soon. I mean, to me, that would leave Coleman Shelton as your week one starter with Bates as the backup center and guard. At the start of camp, I kind of preferred Bates. I mean, they were rotating on and off at center. But, Shelton stayed healthy, and then Nate Davis came back. And when Davis came back, that eliminated Bates playing as the starting right guard, which he'd been doing for a couple of weeks. So I think, Bates will be your depth piece there. And, that's okay. The Bears feel better about their offensive line depth now than they have in years. And they know, too, that, you're probably going to need it, especially when your guards are Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis, two guys who have struggled to get through the season healthy during their careers.
So that means, Doug Kramer has to break camp with them, right? At this point?
I don't think so. I wouldn't
know
on that, no. I think you're probably looking at, Karan Amagaji's got to make the team here. He's your third-round pick, and he's back and healthy now. So, if he's on the 53-man, it's not as somebody who can help you right away, but he's going to be a project. You have Matt Pryor, who's going to play some guard. I would also watch out for Larry Borum. Larry Borum's salary got a lot more expensive this offseason because he had some playing time bonuses on his rookie contract. So, he's been, more or less the entrenched backup tackle, probably at both spots if you were to need him in a pinch. And he might be a little pricier than they'd like to pay, but I'm not sure that they have another option. That gets you to 8 right there. And, that might leave, Kramer on the outside looking in as perhaps a practice squad guy.
We were watching Hard Knocks, as all Bears fans are, and there was that effort by them to go after Matthew Judon with a little bit of help on defense. Do you think they're in pretty good shape there overall, or are you concerned about the defensive line?
I think they need a defensive lineman. I think that they've needed one since March, and they know it. I mean, when they reported to camp and we had Ryan Poles in a press conference, in his opening statement, before we could ask a question of him, he said, essentially, yeah, we know we need another defensive end. And, we like the guys that we've got, but we're going to be open to doing whatever we can. And, they certainly kept their ear to the ground there. You've got cut day coming up on Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe, there's an edge rusher out there that some team decides they want to trade who they'd be cutting otherwise. Maybe the Bears have a chance there. Remember, Yannick Ngakoue is still a free agent, still available. You'd like to think that if the Bears thought that was the answer, that he'd be signed by now, given that they could have had him at any point in the last 6 weeks. But that's a choice, too. We can sit here and talk about Austin Booker, and Austin Booker could be a really good story for them. But to count on him as a difference maker, I think, would be a mistake. It's just, you can like him, and like Ryan Poles said on the TV show when he was in the draft, they think he can be a guy in a year. A year is not today, and they need somebody today. And they need it because on passing downs, DeMarcus Walker, who's a pretty good defensive end, can move inside the defensive tackle, and you're going to need somebody to take Walker's place at end. I'm not sure that they have that somebody right now.
Talking with Patrick Finley, who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times on 670 The Score. I want to get back to offense and more the skill positions here. One of the narratives that you've heard a lot, and I don't think it's coming out of training camp. I don't think it's coming from people who are there, who are watching him practice, but there's this idea that Keenan Allen's a little bit slow, or that he's heavy, or whatever it is. And I think I know one of the main sources of it, but what do you think of that? Does he in practice look slow to you? Does he look like he's lost a step?
No, and absolutely not. No. The root of this is somebody at some point when he got traded to the Bears had a typo and wrote the wrong weight down. So,
because he doesn't look big.
He's not. No, he's not.
Okay.
He's coming off of two or three of his best practices of the year in the last 10 days. He looks great. And, you know, this is one of those things, and you mentioned it, it's one of those kind of dumb things on Bears social media that, you know, those of us who are literally there every day, you know, look at and laugh at. And, you know, obviously we can't go out and correct every dumb rumor out there, but I can tell you this, Keenan Allen is not 20 pounds heavier than he was when he played with the Chargers. That is crazy. And I think that he's been Keenan Allen all during training camp. And, you know, part of that, and he's talked about it, includes, you know, pacing himself and getting himself ready for the season. But anybody who's seen him in the last week or two out on the practice field, I don't think any of them could walk away and say, boy, this guy is fat and slow. He's quite the opposite.
It's funny you say it. The way you're answering the question leads me to believe that this is kind of a topic of conversation among everybody who's covering. Like, where the hell is this coming from? Where is this idea that he's fat coming from?
Yeah, right. And we are not in the business of of answering this to randos on Twitter who kind of make stuff up. But yeah, we don't know where that's coming from at all. And all right. You know, I think once the season starts, I don't blame Bears fans for looking for things to worry about. You know, they're not used to prosperity here, and it feels like the last couple of months have been nothing but prosperity. So if you want to go to bed worrying about Keenan Allen because it makes you feel better, go for it. But, you know, there's no reason to. There's nothing wrong with him.
How does Rome Odunze look to you? I know that the would have ended up being an incredible play by Caleb to find him in the corner of the end zone, and he was – His awareness was, I don't know where it was, but he was standing out of bounds when he made the catch. There's that little play, and I know that he's had a couple of drops here and there, but overall, looks good to you?
Yeah, faster and smoother in person than I would have thought. You know that he's good on those deep balls. You know, you watched him at Washington, and, you know, really all he did was just catch these gorgeous fade passes, you know, kind of outside the numbers, you know, along the sideline. And, you know, that's what it was when he caught that pass from Caleb. You know, he has done that in college 1,000 times, and it was cool to see him do it as a pro. He might not be, those of us who play fantasy football, like, he might not be targeted 8 times a game. You know, the Bears have got a lot of weapons. You know, we've already mentioned Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift. I mean, those are a lot of mouths to feed. So I'm not sure that he's going to be a high-volume guy, especially at first. But the Bears want to get the ball in his hands. I think you saw that in the preseason game last week. You know, he took that end around for 15 yards, really got the offense going a little bit. And then, boy, you know, that was a really good catch, but, man, an even better throw down that sideline.
All right, let's get to the big boy here. Caleb Williams, he is the topic of discussion and has been. How does it if you're a Bears fan, I know how I feel about him. I know how I feel watching him play and the excitement that's there. But you covering him, what are you thinking? Where's your assessment of him?
It's fun, and I don't know how often fun and the Chicago Bears have been linked. You know, I'm this is the 11th year I've been doing this. You know, and their quarterbacks have been Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, and now him. Justin was fun at times. I mean, you know, say what you will about his inability to really be a consistent passer, but, you know, when he took off with the ball, it was some of the most dynamic stuff we've seen at Soldier Field in a long time. So he was fun. But Caleb has a chance to be both good and fun, which is something that is really, really new around here. The thing I take away from being around him so far in camp is I just think he's wired for this. You know, this is a guy who's already had his own bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium. Like he's a celebrity. He's a celebrity already. He's used to the attention. I think he deals with it in a unique way. And I think maybe it takes somebody who's a little bit of an iconoclast to be able to break through in Chicago as a quarterback. You know, the reason it's hard to play quarterback in Chicago is for a lot of reasons, one of which, you know, the Bears didn't really, discover the forward pass until the 90s. But, you know, the other reason is just, you know, the pressure that comes with there not having been anybody ahead of you who's ever done this before. I think he is really well positioned to handle the pressure, you know, both the good and the arrows that will come with the bad as a rookie. And, you know, that's really important. He is comfortable in his own skin in a way that, you know, I am in my early 40s, and I wish I were as comfortable in my own skin as I'm seeing this kid acting as a member of the Bears.
From watching, how do you feel his comfort level in the pocket is?
boy, this is nitpicky. He seems, in game action, I think he's gotten out of there maybe a little quick for me sometimes, and maybe that's just how he's going to play as a pro. And boy, anybody who can see him, who's seen him throw on the run, particularly to his left, I mean, it's hard to argue with the results at all, but I think he's going to have to learn to hang in there just a little bit. But him on the run is really special. And, you know, my favorite part of his touchdown run last week was that, boy, it looked like he tried to exhaust every possibility before he actually took off and run. As he's rolling left, you can see him sitting there going, oh, I don't want to run it. I don't want to run it. Can somebody please get open? And then he finally took off and scored, and he wasn't touched. That is just so different than what Justin Fields used to do, which is I think Justin looked to run, and you know the Bears coaches would beg him to look up and try and throw, and this is quite the opposite, and you know with good reason. You know, if I ran like Justin, maybe I'd want to run all the time too, but you know I think if you're going to win in the NFL, you need a quarterback who looks to pass first, and Caleb does that.
I think that's a good way to put it. When he gets out of the pocket, he's getting out to look to throw, and when Fields got out, he was just gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean he's got. You know, and to lay all of it at Justin's feet, you know, would probably be a little unfair. I mean, he's got really good players to throw to in a way that Justin didn't, especially when Justin was a rookie and kind of getting his habits ingrained into him. But, yeah, I mean, Caleb is really special on the run. You know, I'm not sure there are five quarterbacks in the NFL that are as good on the run as he is right this second. And that's a really good trait to have, you know, in the modern NFL.
Patrick Finley, go enjoy some press box food. It might be hot dogs and popcorn, but whatever it is, have enjoy it.
Somebody mentioned that there were meatballs. I haven't been over there yet, but I'll take a look.
Get going, man.
I mean, I was hoping for barbecue or something.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. They're Kansas City meatballs. They can't be any good.
Bears meatballs, both Bears. The physical ones and the metaphorical ones are my favorite.
Well, every type of Chicago meatball is the best.
Agreed.
See you, Patrick.
Right,
thank you. Patrick Finley covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's on Twitter at Patrick Finley. He's so good. We will be talking Cubs in the next hour, but, you know, we've got Bears talk for, what, the next at least 40 minutes? You know, we're gonna do it for a while here. And even though the Bears game is going to get going at 7:20, we will continue to talk about your Chicago Bears even during the game. You know what? Why not? I'm Chris Ranji filling in tonight on 670 The Score.
I am one of those guys that can play the game at a high level. That's kind of the only thing I hope every time I'm out there is that just everybody can see that I have full control of everything going on. I know where my answers are, and I can just play at that kind of level.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Yep, filling in tonight on Score Evenings, and boy, am I glad you're with me. As we get ready for the Bears and Chiefs tonight, they will play in the final preseason game. And then it's regular season football for the Bears. But you're going to have to wait a little bit for it. September 8th, they're not going to get going. We're going to have an entire Labor Day weekend. And then there's another week to go. That's how long it's going to be before you'll get to see Caleb Williams in an actual game that counts. You just heard from Tyson Bagent, who had his press conference yesterday. And I will tell you that I do not believe in any way he is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams. I don't think he's going to be a better quarterback than Caleb Williams. I don't think he's a better one now. He might do a couple of things differently because he's got experience. And I know there are people who think he's really efficient and, you know, and I guess there is some of that, but he just doesn't have the talent that Williams does. And I don't really think that's not even a crazy thought. I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of people are with me on that. However, I really do root for him to do well, and I root for him to have a good long career in the NFL. And I do think he's an asset to the Bears as their backup quarterback right now in case something does happen to the starter. You feel confident that he can at least get you through. I mean, he's already done it. He's already handled a backup role pretty well for the Bears. He's not a great quarterback, but he, you know, he can get it done for a little bit. And I hope that he's able to stick around as long as possible. And I think right now to them, he is an asset. And one of the things I like about him is his amazing confidence. And when he spoke yesterday to the media, he discussed that a little bit. And I loved the way he answered the question about what his goals are and how he thinks that they are sort of unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I got ridiculous, unbelievable aspirations that go far deeper than what I've been able to do so far. So I'll just sum it up like that. And I'm just excited to continue to work at it and continue to, you know, get better at my craft.
Good. I love that. I love that attitude from him. You know, I know that if you're a professional athlete, you're supposed to think that way, but not every person does. Not every guy thinks that they are the best on the field or can be the best. And I appreciate it when somebody does. Here's somebody who does not want to be a backup quarterback. He will do it and he will play the role of one and do whatever he is asked to do, at least up until now. And who knows, things could change. He could become a diva. But right now he's not. He wants more than what he's doing now, but he is doing exactly what he is asked to. And I appreciate that from him. I know that that's not entirely unusual, but I'm glad the Bears have it. I'm glad the Bears have a guy that you feel comfortable with if they need him in a pinch for a short period of time. But if all goes well for the Bears in 2024, we will not see him after today. That's just the bottom line. Or unless it is an absolute blowout in a game and you want to get Caleb Williams off the field so that he doesn't get hurt. So in an ideal world, you don't see Tyson Bagent again for the rest of the year unless there's a blowout. That's the way I would put it. Let's get to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. In Hinsdale, Dominic is with us on the Score. Hello, Dominic.
Chris, how you doing, man?
Good.
Just longtime Bear fan, and really think that we got someone special behind center now. And the only thing that I wanted to just ask for your opinion on is when I'm watching Hard Knocks, the last thing that I expected was that the coach spending all the time with Caleb would be Flus. And maybe that's just how HBO's doing it, but it seems like, why is Flus the guy behind Caleb? It just seems a little odd. I mean, where's Shane? Where's the QB coach? It just seemed different to me. I don't know if anybody else picked it up, or maybe I'm just overreading it.
You know what? I think, Dominic, you might be overreading it. And the reason is you've seen video of him in the quarterback room. Like, for example, there's the moment where he's sitting down across from Bagent. There's nobody else in the room. And it looks like they're getting ready for a meeting, right? Or the other quarterbacks haven't gotten to the room. The coaches haven't gotten there. That's what I think is going on there. And they're having small talk. Maybe, and I don't know what the editing decisions are, or the content decisions are, but my guess is if it is what they believe to be proprietary or competitive advantage type stuff, you're not going to see any of that. So I really don't think that it's Flus and Caleb spending all the time together. I think that's just what you're seeing. I think, of course, they have to spend some together, and I fully understand what you're getting at. What you're saying is, hey, if any of the coaches is going to be spending a ton of time with this quarterback, it should be the offensive guys and not the defensive minded head coach. And I fully get that. I get it. But they are going to spend some time together, at least. I think that's just what they're showing you. And we could talk to Mark Grody about that when he comes up and joins us at 7 o'clock. But I think that's all it is. I wouldn't get too worried about that. It is something that I actually kind of had a similar thought. I thought, okay, here's Flus coaching him up and talking about footwork, which he's like, do you like where your left foot is here? And I thought, oh, okay. I didn't know that's how it worked. I kind of assumed that that would be up to Waldron or the quarterback's coach or whatever. But I suppose there's nothing wrong with the head coach having that input as well, as long as everybody's on the same page. As long as the guy is not receiving mixed messages. One guy's telling him one thing about his footwork and the offensive coordinator's telling him another and the QB coach is saying a third thing. As long as that's not happening, then I really don't have a ton of concern about that. But I do appreciate the phone call to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Text messages are welcome at the same number you call, 312-644-6767. And this texter says, this game is going to serve as ammunition for Tyson fans who believe he has something special to contribute. Yes, if he has a good game tonight, a rational Bears fan will look at that and say, great, a capable backup quarterback that had a good game in the preseason. Good. That's awesome. In case we need him, we know he's there. An irrational Bears fan will say, this guy should start. And I know that if he has one of those tonight where it's more than him just handing off the ball and he makes a couple of good plays like we've already seen in the preseason, there's going to be a lot of, hey, this Caleb guy should start. I know how it goes. I get it. Those people need to relax because he does not need to start. We have the guy. His name is Caleb Williams, and he's going to be the starter on September 8th at Soldier Field against the Titans. This texter says, my mom is driving the Tyson Bagent fan bus. It is so adorable. Well, I'm glad mom is happy. I'm glad that mom likes Tyson Bagent. That's great. We all should like Tyson Bagent. Another texter says, I believe the game will allow coaches to run specific packages for Tyson in case our worst fears come to fruition. Let's just not speak about that. Let's not speak about injury. Let's not speak about what could go wrong. I'll bring you that later in the show, but not right now. This is about getting ready for football and getting you happy and excited about what's happening tonight. Final preseason game for the Bears. And a text message says, fire Greg Walker. Come on, damn it. No, we're not doing that. We are not firing Greg Walker. This is not 2007. So I want you all to stop it. That is not how we're using the text line tonight at 312-644-6767. When we come back, our guy who covers the Bears, 4670 The Score, Mark Grody, will join us. The kickoff at 7:20 tonight. I'm Chris Ronji on Score Evenings, Bears.
Just that I am one of those guys that can play the game at a high level. That's kind of the only thing I hope every time I'm out there, is that just everybody can see that I have full control of everything going on. I know where my answers are, and I can just play at that kind of level.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Yep, filling in tonight on Score Evenings, and boy, am I glad you're with me. As we get ready for the Bears and Chiefs tonight, they will play in the final preseason game. And then it's regular season football for the Bears. But you're going to have to wait a little bit for it. September 8th, they're not going to get going. We're going to have an entire Labor Day weekend. And then there's another week to go. That's how long it's going to be before you'll get to see Caleb Williams in an actual game that counts. You just heard from Tyson Bagent, who had his press conference yesterday. And I will tell you that I do not believe in any way he is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams. I don't think he's going to be a better quarterback than Caleb Williams. I don't think he's a better one now. He might do a couple of things differently because he's got experience. And I know there are people who think he's really efficient, and you know, and I guess there is some of that, but he just doesn't have the talent that Williams does. And I don't really think that's not even a crazy thought. I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of people are with me on that. However, I really do root for him to do well. And I root for him to have a good long career in the NFL. And I do think he's an asset to the Bears as their backup quarterback right now, in case something does happen to the starter. You feel confident that he can at least get you through. I mean, he's already done it. He's already handled a backup role pretty well for the Bears. He's not a great quarterback, but he can get it done for a little bit. And I hope that he's able to stick around as long as possible. I think right now to them, he is an asset. And one of the things I like about him is his amazing confidence. And when he spoke yesterday to the media, he discussed that a little bit. And I loved the way he answered the question about what his goals are and how he thinks that they are sort of unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I got ridiculous, unbelievable aspirations that go far deeper than what I've been able to do so far. So I'll just sum it up like that. And I'm just excited to continue to work at it and continue to, you know, get better at my craft.
Good. I love that. I love that attitude from him. You know, I know that if you're a professional athlete, you're supposed to think that way, but not every person does. Not every guy thinks that they are the best on the field or can be the best. And I appreciate it when somebody does. Here's somebody who does not want to be a backup quarterback. He will do it and he will play the role of one and do whatever he is asked to do, at least up until now. And who knows, things could change. He could become a diva, but right now he's not. He wants more than what he's doing now, but he is doing exactly what he is asked to. And I appreciate that from him. I know that that's not entirely unusual, but I'm glad the Bears have it. I'm glad the Bears have a guy that you feel comfortable with if they need him in a pinch for a short period of time. But if all goes well for the Bears in 2024, we will not see him after today. That's just the bottom line. Or unless it is an absolute blowout in a game and you want to get Caleb Williams off the field so that he doesn't get hurt. So in an ideal world, you don't see Tyson Bagent again for the rest of the year unless there's a blowout. That's the way I would put it. Let's get to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. In Hinsdale, Dominic is with us on the Score. Hello, Dominic.
Chris, how you doing, man?
Good.
Just longtime Bear fan, and really think that we got someone special behind center now. And the only thing that I wanted to just ask for your opinion on is when I'm watching Hard Knocks, the last thing that I expected was that the coach spending all the time with Caleb would be Flus. And maybe that's just how HBO's doing it, but it seems like, why is Flus the guy behind Caleb? It just seems a little odd. I mean, where's Shane? Where's the QB coach? Where it just seemed different to me. I don't know if anybody else picked it up, or maybe I'm just overreading it.
You know what? I think, Dominic, you might be overreading it. And the reason is you've seen video of him in the quarterback room. Like, for example, there's the moment where he's sitting down across from Bagent. There's nobody else in the room, and it looks like they're getting ready for a meeting, right? Or the other quarterbacks haven't gotten to the room. The coaches haven't gotten there. That's what I think is going on there. And they're having small talk. Maybe, and I don't know what the editing decisions are or the content decisions are, but my guess is if it is what they believe to be proprietary or competitive advantage type stuff, you're not going to see any of that. So I really don't think that it's Flus and Caleb spending all the time together. I think that's just what you're seeing. I think, of course, they have to spend some together, and I fully understand what you're getting at. What you're saying is, hey, if any of the coaches is going to be spending a ton of time with this quarterback, it should be the offensive guys and not the defensive minded head coach. And I fully get that. I get it. But they are going to spend some time together at least. I think that's just what they're showing you. And we could talk to Mark Grody about that when he comes up and joins us at 7 o'clock. But I think that's all it is. I wouldn't get too worried about that. It is something that I actually kind of had a similar thought. I thought, okay, here's Flus coaching him up and talking about footwork, which he's like, do you like where your left foot is here? And I thought, oh, okay. I didn't know that's how it worked. I kind of assumed that would be up to Waldron or the quarterback's coach or whatever. But I suppose there's nothing wrong with the head coach having that input as well, as long as everybody's on the same page. As long as the guy is not receiving mixed messages. One guy's telling him one thing about his footwork and the offensive coordinator's telling him another and the QB coach is saying a third thing. As long as that's not happening, then I really don't have a ton of concern about that. But I do appreciate the phone call to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Text messages are welcome at the same number you call, 312-644-6767. And this texter says, this game is going to serve as ammunition for Tyson fans who believe he has something special to contribute. Yes, if he has a good game tonight, a rational Bears fan will look at that and say, great, a capable backup quarterback that had a good game in the preseason. Good. That's awesome. In case we need him, we know he's there. An irrational Bears fan will say, this guy should start. And I know that if he has one of those tonight where it's more than him just handing off the ball, and he makes a couple of good plays, like we've already seen in the preseason, there's going to be a lot of, hey, this Caleb guy should start. I know how it goes. I get it. Those people need to relax because he does not need to start. We have the guy. His name is Caleb Williams, and he's going to be the starter on September 8th at Soldier Field against the Titans. This texter says, my mom is driving the Tyson Bagent fan bus. It is so adorable. Well, I'm glad mom is happy. I'm glad that mom likes Tyson Bagent. That's great. We all should like Tyson Bagent. Another texter says, I believe the game will allow coaches to run specific packages for Tyson in case our worst fears come to fruition. Let's just not speak about that. Let's not speak about injury. Let's not speak about what could go wrong. I'll bring you that later in the show, but not right now. This is about getting ready for football and getting you happy and excited about what's happening tonight. Final preseason game for the Bears. And a text message says, fire Greg Walker. Come on, damn it. No, we're not doing that. We are not firing Greg Walker. This is not 2007, so I want you all to stop it. That is not how we're using the text line tonight at 312-644-6767. When we come back, our guy who covers the Bears, 4670 The Score, Mark Grody, will join us. The kickoff at 720 tonight. I'm Chris Ranji on Score Evenings. Bears.